I'll say hello.
It's a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
The Western Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe and give this video the thumbs up. I am joined by my special guest, Daz Hale, who is a radio presenter for BBC WM Sports. This is going to be an interview episode, and this episode will give you a different insight into Daz Hale. I'll be interviewing Daz about his career in media, broadcasting, talking about BBC WM, West Midlands football in general, and Aston Villa. And 2 years ago, I had the pleasure meeting Daz in his studio in the mailbox, and it's an absolute pleasure, and it was a great experience. Daz worked really hard, and Daz Hale is a great voice for West Midlands football. Great to have you on the show again, Daz.
How are you? I don't know about the bit about working really hard, but thank you. Good, mate. I can't believe it's 2 years since you were in the studio as well. That's flown by, innit?
I know, I can't believe it. And also, I give my granddad a stick supporting Wolves.
I'm used to it, mate. I'm married to an Albion fan, so it's constant banter in this house anyway. So I've heard it all before, mate.
And also, Daz, like when I go to the Villa games, my journey wouldn't be complete without you on the radio.
Oh, that's really
always listen to you.
That's really kind. It's obviously it's the whole sports team, isn't it? But it's something that I did as a kid, mate. So I'm lucky that I've ended up doing a job that, because I used to listen to it when I was, you know, even like grown up in inverted commas, and I'd be shouting at the radio. So now people shout at me instead now, but it's gone full circle. But that's a privilege to do.
How many years have you been doing it for now?
Some would say too many, Chad. I've been at WM now for, this is the 23rd year, which is like incredible.
Oh, wow.
I know. And it has absolutely flown by. And I've done a lot in that time. I haven't just done sport. I've, you know, hosted the breakfast show for a few years and worked on other programs. But the last 5 years now, I think it is, that I've been full time on sport again, and I'm absolutely loving it.
I won't go into working in media.
You say it again, Chad.
What got you into media?
What got me into it?
Working in media. Yeah,
it's absolutely, because when I was at school, I never really knew what I wanted to do. I always knew people are suggesting things. I know what I didn't want to do, if that makes sense, but I never really knew what I did want to do. And then eventually when I left school, my dad was, he's one of the bosses at the post office in Burntwood, as he was there, in Litchfield. And I hadn't got a job or anything. He said, oh, come and do some work for us for Christmas. He said, I'll pay for Christmas. And then I was there for about 15 years or something. So it was a long Christmas. But during that time, one of my mates who I worked with used to run like a music magazine.
Yeah.
Started hanging out with him and going and interviewing like bands and stuff. Bands like The Wonder Stuff, Billy Bragg, The House Martins, Ian Jury and The Block. There was loads of stuff. It was great. And then he was in a band as well, and the band he was in split up. And he said, well, do you want to form a band with me? I said, well, I can't sing or anything. He said, don't matter. And so eventually we put together a band, and we released a few records, and we got in the indie charts. Mm-hmm. And so as a result of that, obviously, because we were doing okay, we started getting quite a lot of interviews on like radio and stuff, like, you know, MTV and all that sort of stuff. So I got to know people. And then when the band split up, Jenny Wilkes, who was a good friend of mine, who was at WM for years, she said, well, would you like to come and start reviewing films for me in the afternoon on my afternoon show? And because I was a postman, I was finished at lunchtime, you see, so I was able to go and do it. My judge of whether a film was any good or not was whether I fell asleep during, because I'd been up since 4 o'clock on the boat. So if I could get through the whole film, I thought it's normally a decent film. So, and it just went from there. And then eventually they started asking me to fill in for other people. And then eventually they said, would you like to come and join us for like a 3-month contract, I think it was. But of course, the job at the time on the post, I think it's changed a little bit now, it was like a job for life, it was seen. So I thought, well, that's a bit of a risk. I wanted to do it, but 3-month contract compared to my job for life. So I went to the post office and they just said, well, listen, if you're crap, you can come back in 3 months, which is really nice of them. So they held the job for me, and I might be crap, but I'm 23 years later, I'm still getting away with it, mate.
It's a really weird journey. It's been a long journey.
It has, yeah. As I say, so I never went to university or anything like that, and I just ended up. And then when, because I never knew what I wanted to do, but then when I started doing the radio, I thought, actually, you know. And then I remember when I was a kid, I used to actually record the goal horn and stuff. If when the Wolves, so I used to go to most of the home games with my dad before I didn't go to the. Kid, I thought, actually, you know, that's probably what I wanted to do all along. I didn't know. So I was very, very lucky and very privileged, and it's lucky to be. I mean, obviously, like in all jobs, you have good days and bad days, but I've never been to a football match where whatever the game is, whether it's like, I don't know, the Sherpa Van Trophy, Walsall away, whatever, on a chair, ever felt anything but privileged to be able to do it as a job and to, you know, and get paid to watch football and talk about football. It's fantastic.
What I like about you, Daz, is your passion.
I am passionate about it, yeah. And obviously, I have still got my season tickets at the Wolves, as it most weeks. And the odd game that I don't work on a Sunday, so I get to see some of the Sunday matches. But I really genuinely feel really passionate about the whole of West Midlands football, Chad. And I know that we support different, but I always say, like, same religion, different denomination, mate, because we all feel the same. And the West Midlands is a proper hotbed for football. And I know you talk about this later, but it doesn't, even now, even with what Villa are doing now, I still feel as if we don't get the recognition. If one of our teams beat Manchester United, it's always what went wrong with Manchester, rather than, or didn't Villa do well, or Wolves, or Albion.
Not enough credit.
No. And I don't change, mate. But I just feel like, really, obviously, when my team plays your team, I want to beat you. Of course I do. But ultimately, I would love it if we could get, I think it only happened, it's only happened once or twice in my lifetime, we could actually get Villa, Blues, Wolves and Albion all in the Premier League, all play 12 local derbies or whatever it would be. And that would be fantastic. Yeah. And I mean, I might be a nervous wreck by the end of the season, but it'd be great, wouldn't it?
But I'll remember, Daz, it weren't that long ago. We had Wolves, Blues, Villa and West Brom in the Premier League.
Yeah, and I think it only lasted for one season, though.
Was it?
We could do with it more often, mate.
I think it might have been 14 years ago.
Was it? Yeah.
Something like that, I think.
I would say I had a full head of hair then, but I didn't. I'd be lying. So,
what I want to say as well, even though I support Villa, I would like to see all the West Midlands team doing well.
Yeah, and not everyone would agree with that, and that's absolutely fine. But I just think as an area, because times are tough as well, and it just raised the profile of, you know, of the West Midlands, and that's where I'm from. I mean, I'm not a Brummie. I mean, I was born in the house in Norton Keynes near Cannock. My dad was from Cannock. My mum's from Wensbury. Mm-hmm. So my accent's all over the shop, really. But I just feel really passionate about where I come from.
Yum.
Yeah, probably. I do get called that amongst other things. But I just feel passionate about, I'm proud to come from round here. And there's nothing winds me up more than when you see people who've come from round here and they've done all right for themselves and they start putting on poncy accents, which is really nice because a couple of weeks ago I was privileged to chat to Jasper Carrot because it was his 80th.
Oh, yeah.
One of those, again, he's never, I mean, he's a multimillionaire now, but he still talks like one, you know, like we do, doesn't he? And, you know, I respect him for that.
Well, he always goes to the games. The Blues games, always there.
Yeah, proper. In the tough times, and I'm sure he'll be there now when it looks as if the, you know, they're on the right road again.
So it does. So BBC WN, how did that all start?
I say for me, that was really that journey from when I was doing the post, and then the music, and then got off of those film shows with Jenny Wilkes. And in fact, the first show I ever did was on national radio. It was on Radio 5 Live because Samantha Mia, who I ended up doing the breakfast show with a million years later on WM, she was presenting a show on 5 Live and she was getting married. And I don't think she wanted to invite me to the wedding. So instead she said, will you sit in the show instead? So that was brilliant. And then over the years then, I just started filling in for people and started off doing reports in like the radio car, like going out and reporting and stuff. And I've ended up doing a lot of that over the years. And then Mark Regan was sports editor and he got me doing, I used to drive the desk, do all the knobs for Tony Butler, who became a really great friend of mine. He taught me so much. And I used to do a sports show in the evening and we did a lot of football for quite a lot of years. And then they asked me to go on to the mornings and do the sport on the mornings. And I ended up doing the early show and presenting the breakfast show. So it was about 12 years of my life when I was getting up at stupid o'clock, about 3 o'clock or 3:30. So when Paul Franks started winding down and they said to me, like, well, you know, I think he did actually stop the football phoning and Henry Liston did it for a year.
I know Paul Franks. What is he doing there?
He's actually, because he took like redundancy, but he's been writing a book, but not an autobiography or anything. It's actually a thriller and it's got, he's got a book deal and it's coming out in September. And I think he's already started writing the second one as well. So hopefully we'll get him on WM and interview him about it. But I thought he'd do like a story of his career, but it's actually a thriller. So I think what he's been doing, because when he used to do like the afternoons, he had this routine where every morning he'd go into his office for an hour or so and find how posh having an office, not like me, I'm in the kitchen, but he'd be in his office, the show, really on his laptop or whatever, then come into work. So when he left WM, he kept in that routine, but started writing a book. And then he said to me that I'm going to send it off to some publishers. And I said, well, look, you know, if they don't want it, you could always publish it yourself. And he said, no, because I'm not self-publishing. It's either good enough or it isn't. And fortunately for him, they liked it. I think it's a 3-book deal, I think. Certainly a 2-book deal. So it's going to be like, do you remember Barbara Cartland, the writer who used to have all the pink hair and the blue rinse and stuff?
I don't think I remember.
So he's a bit like that now. He's a bit like Mills and Boone or whatever. So yeah, so he's a writer now, but he's doing well. And he goes and watches the Villa. He goes and watches a bit of rugby. Mm-hmm. He goes and watches Rush All Olympics sometimes as well. So he's certainly busy.
And actually, you took over Paul Franks.
Yeah, I say yeah. So like the football founding was done for a year by Henry Liston. And I was doing took over during COVID, doing the Saturdays. And I thought it was just be temporary. But then Francis decided to wind down. And so that's when they said to me, well, would you like to come and basically do what he was doing and do all the midweek, the nightly football phoning, then host the midweek football and then do the Saturday football? I said, well, let me think about that. So that's what I've been doing since, and I'm having the time of my life doing it. And fortunately, most of our teams, apart from mine, are doing really well at the moment as well, aren't they?
I mean, Wolves, they're going to just stay up. Survival.
I hope so. They've been a lot better since they changed the manager and Vitor Pereira came in. And I think it's been mid-table form since he came in. Because they brought a couple of players in January. So he steadied the ship. They're still not, I mean, the 9 points clear now. So they should do it from here. But in football, until it's done, it's not. But I'm a lot more optimistic now.
Well, the only thing it was, the way they've been performing, as long as they keep performing that way, I think they'll stay up.
Yeah, I hope so, yeah. So it could be, it's not done yet. And when they had Cunha suspended, I thought, well, that's not going to help. But they've done all right so far, Chad. But then the big question will be, well, what do they do in the summer? Because they'll lose Cunha. They'll probably lose Ryan Aignori. And then they've got to spend the money properly. Otherwise, they'll be in the same situation in 12 months' time, won't they? So that's the big challenge for Wolves now.
The big problem with Wolves, you haven't really replaced your best players.
No, that's it. That's it, exactly. They've lost a lot of good players over the years, and they've brought in many cases, not all cases, they have brought some good players in, to be fair, but a lot of them haven't worked, and a lot of them are just cheaper versions of what they'd already got. So it's all down to recruitment. So they've got to make sure they get it right this summer. They have brought some decent ones in as well. I've got to be fair about that. But there's others who was just like, they just weren't good enough ultimately, mate.
Well, for my granddad, I hope they stay up.
Thank you.
I hope they stay up as well. So, what is it like being part of the BBC family?
Oh, it's great. And it's like, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm very privileged to do this job. But it's like, doesn't matter where you work, it could be the best job in the world. But if everybody you work, you didn't get on with, they didn't like, it wouldn't be much fun, would it? And you could have like, it doesn't matter what job it is, really, providing that you get on with everyone. I say, when I was a postman, there's some right nutters there. I used to have a right laugh. That wasn't all the glory of being on the radio and all that. But it was great because you got on with the people that you work with, and you could be in a job where, you know, people might perceive it as being a glamorous job, but if it's not a nice place to go every day, and you know, and there's bitching going on and backbiting and rows and stuff, then I think the novelty of doing the actual job would soon wear off. But it's not like that, and I've got some really good friends there, and even we've had some new ones start over the last year or 2 years, and they're really talented, they're really hardworking bunch as well, but most of all they're just nice people, and that's the thing, and we all get on. Pardon?
I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah,
it might
exactly.
go quicker there.
Yeah, as long as they laugh at my jokes, I'm not very often they do.
That's what it does. Get out of that humour.
What I've tried to do with the phoning is make it like as if you were in the pub with your mate, without the beer, without the swearing most of the time. But so you want to have a bit of banter as well, don't you? And you know, just make it a little bit, and just try and be real, because that's what I'm like anyway. So just do it how I do it, and then it'll either be successful or it won't. But you can't put on an act every night for an hour, because you'd soon get found out anyway. So I'll just do what I'm just me, you know, and then like...
What are you going to do is, you've got to be yourself.
Yeah, spot on, yeah. And then, because you'd have to be a damn good actor to put that on every day for years, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? So I'll this is me. And like, I quite like it when people... phone up and have a go as well. It's all good fun. But you try to make the show entertaining, because not everybody is into all like the tactics and the 4-4-2s and the 3-5-2s and the low block and the hyper. Some people just put the radio on and just got a passing interest in football, or maybe haven't been for a few years, but still like talking about their team. So you might have people listening who aren't even into football, but somebody else listening is. So you just try and keep it entertaining as much as you can as well. Do the serious stuff, but you know, have a bit of a laugh as well. But when it's the right time, really, you know.
Everybody's got different opinions. Not everybody is going to agree with you.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be the most boring phoning in the world if everyone just phoned up and went, yeah, I agree with you. What about you? Yeah, I agree with you. Exactly. But yeah, and I think it's nice that, because I always say, like, mate, that there are no right or wrong answers. It's just what you think. Now, I'm all, you know, and as long as people aren't saying anything like racist or sexist, there's a line, and you know, you wouldn't tolerate that. But it's, come on, and I want people to not all, because we don't all feel the same. If I asked you and 10 other Villa fans to pick a team for the next game at Brighton, I bet you I'd get 10 different answers, and that's exactly, do you know what I mean? Yep. That's exactly, everyone's got their own thoughts, and it's just a platform. Yeah. It's not really me. It's about, it's great to have the legends on, because obviously they've played the game and they see stuff and feel stuff and think stuff that I wouldn't. But it's about getting their views and getting the listeners' views. And really, my job just to say to someone, what you think about this and what you think about that. I don't think anyone really gives a monkey's what I think, and quite right too.
That's what I would like, is a good debate, a healthy debate.
Yeah, because I don't know, you don't really get that online, do you? Because if you disagree with anybody on social media, you just get called a rude name, don't you? You can't, it's horrible, isn't it? You know, you can't actually go, you've been on Twitter or whatever it's called now, and said something, someone disagreed, by the third tweet they'd be calling you something. Well, really? So it's nice that we could all, like, and you know, it's great when it gets heated sometimes as well. It's a good listen, as long as it's authentic, like, genuine, and it's coming from the heart, then I've no problem with it, you know. And we do get the odd, I don't think we've had a swearer on. Sometimes people in the heat of the moment, like on a rant, and a word might drop out. But I'll just say to them, like, you know, I just apologise. But provided it's not malicious, it's because it's, especially after a game when you're really, really pumped up, you know, really happy or really angry, then sometimes the word slips out. But as long as they haven't phoned up to think, right, I'm going to say the F word on and have a, like, then you just say sorry, don't say that again, and just, if you can, just move on. Yeah. And most people feel mortified that they've actually said something that shouldn't really be saying on the BBC.
The what it is, it makes you feel better after you get it off your chest. Like therapy.
Yeah. For like the Samaritans, mate. Although it's good when things go well as well. And what do you think? I mean, how do you feel about the Villa at the moment? And actually, it's a really exciting.
Oh, I'm very happy, Dad. I think the end of the season, it's going to be very exciting. With the quarter final against PSG, I mean, could get to Wembley as well. It can't get any better than it.
No, I mean, like, you look at it, and like, I mean, the PSG game, I don't think it matters that you're the underdog. Who cares? You were the underdogs against Bayern Munich, not only in 82, but even this season. Arsenal have beaten PSG this season in the Champions League stage. So they're a great side. They're not unbeatable. You've got, I mean, like, you are the massive favourites to get past Preston. So just make sure you get the job done. Obviously, Wolves cocked it up against Coventry 12 months ago. We were leading in added time and got beat, and we missed out on Wembley. So if you can get to Wembley in the semi-final, I just think that, I don't know about you, Chad, but now, whoever you play, I think you think, yeah, we can give them a game. You're not always going to beat them. But, you know, like before, you'd say, oh, well, it's Man City or it's Liverpool or it's Arsenal, or it's a bit of a free hit because they're not anymore. You compete with them now. And like, I think you're only 3 points off Man City in fifth, aren't you? And you've got to play them as well. Yeah.
It's all to play for.
Yeah. What would you, if I offered, so what for you now from here, would you see as success? Because it's been a great season. So you're in like the quarterfinals of the Champions League, quarterfinals of the FA Cup, pushing for the Champions League finish in the Premier League. So what for you now would be the bare minimum at the end of this season, you'd want to say, yeah, we've actually had a successful year.
But I think I'd like us to finish at least maybe fifth or maybe sixth, I think. Mm. You know what, Daz? I think we could win the FA Cup.
Yeah. That'd be it, wouldn't it?
That would be the thing for me, yeah.
Oh, man. And would you be all right for a ticket to get to the cup? You get to the cup final, would you be sorted?
Oh, I'd definitely be there, yeah.
Right stuff, yeah.
You haven't seen the ticket.
Oh, you'd be fine then. Are you going to go against PSG in the home game?
I've got the tickets.
Come on!
I'm very excited.
I should have been working that, but I'm actually, I booked leave, and so I'm not going to be there for that one, because I'm off this week on leave, because I've got a load of days to use up. And that one at the end of April, I'm actually off, so I won't be going now. Blimey, should cancel me holiday.
And on our day, Daz, I think we can beat anybody.
Great, yeah.
We should fear PSG.
No, not at all. And it'd be great if Asensio scored against them as well, being on loan from them. But you've got, apart from Ross Barkley now, you've got everybody fit, haven't you, as well? So it's, and you've got
options.
Yeah, and I think you've won the last four now. You've won the last four. You just, to me, it looks as if like it's the season's peaking just at the right time. So you've won the last four. You've got all your players fit pretty much. Your bench is ridiculous. So providing no one gets injured on international duty over a couple of 3 days, I think you've got a really good... The only issue is, I think it's 7 games in 21 days, which is a big ask. So he's going to have to use all that stuff. Yeah, but he's used to that, isn't he, Unai Emery? So, you know, you'd think he'd know how to negotiate that, really.
Well, I'll tell you what, the other Marco Asensio and Marcus Rashford, we need to sign them on a permanent. That's what I personally think.
You think, if you don't make Champions League, if you don't, do you think you'd get them then, or do you think you'll need to be in the Champions League to get them two to sign?
Well, I think that will come into it. But also, I think Asensio, you'd have to take a wage cut.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be the question, I think.
Yeah, because, well, he ain't getting a game for them. So, would you, because all this FFP stuff, the PSR stuff, you know, you had to sell Douglas Luiz last year. Obviously, you've sold Duran, which is. Would you, if it meant signing Rashford and Asensio, would you sell Watkins if that paid for them too? If someone came in the summer and went, I don't know, Arsenal, when he has 60 million for Ollie Watkins, would you take it? And if it meant you could get Rashford and Asensio?
That's a good question.
I'll have to do it on the phone.
Because Ollie Watkins, I don't want him to leave. But if he did, I'm going to take that, yeah.
Because I think for him, he's 29 now, isn't he? So he's probably got his eye on one big payday, one big move. And this is probably the last time this next 12 months where you'll get really big money for him as well. Because once he gets past 30, then obviously the price goes down a little bit, doesn't it? So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But
if we don't get Champions League, I think Watkins
could do, and I think there's always the worry about Martinez as well, then, isn't there? But I think at the moment he's got to just think positive and think, well, you could get Champions League by winning the Champions League, you could get Champions League by finishing fifth,
definitely.
And the worst you'll get is Europa League if you can finish in the top seven. Of course, if you win the FA Cup, it's Europa League as well, isn't it? So I think he's got to think positive because there's so much to play.
And Unai Emery has managed PSG before.
Yeah, yeah. I think he left them to go to Arsenal.
His homework. Emery likes to study. He'll really do his research.
I'm telling you, mate, since you got through against Bruges, I bet you he's been studying them. I bet he was doing it the same night when he got home. So don't worry about that. And he's got a really good staff with him as well. So yeah, they won't be unprepared for it, put it like that.
And the Marco Asensio, he can give Emery intel.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he will. I'm sure they'll like to, spill the beans on a few things. And the things with him as well, he's not even 100% fit yet. Imagine what he'll be like when he's actually 100% fit. He's causing havoc now, isn't he? Just coming off the bench.
Yeah, and does every Champions League guy? I've been collecting scarves. I'm going to get a PSG one next.
What, the half and half scarves or just the actual scarf?
Yeah. The half and half scarves, yeah.
So where are you putting that? Are you going to have them on the wall or what? Or
yeah, I'm going to put them in a frame.
That's cool, isn't it? It's a good job it weren't Liverpool then, isn't it? Villa and Liverpool. That's got something to look forward to, that is, mate, every few weeks.
The one is like 2 years ago. When Emery took over, we never thought we'd have got the quarterfinals of the Champions League. It's crazy.
I mean, it's tell you what, it is only what, just when did it come in? The October, so it's like 2 years and about 4 or 5 months, and it feels like 10 years ago what he's done in that time, Matt. I mean, obviously with. And I got on well. I liked Steven Gerrard. I got on well with him. But clearly, I don't think he's that great a football manager, is he? You were looking, staring down the barrel at the Championship. And look at the way he's turned it around. With pretty much, I mean, like, you think about, you know, people like, there was a lot of the players, not all of them, a lot of those
players.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And Tyrone Mings and John McGinn were signed by, were they signed by Steve Bruce and Dean Smith, so they were there in the Champions.
Yeah. And the thing, players like Tyrone Mings and John McGinn, they've been a journey with us.
Yeah.
Since the Championship.
So here's one for you, mate. Here's one for you and all. Would you take Grealish back?
I would like to have him back, I think. I think the worst thing that he did was leaving Villa. He hasn't done his career really good.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because he's won his medals that he wanted to win. Although how much he actually contributed to winning those medals is another thing. But he looks like a robot now, mate. When he played for Villa, he had real like flair and real like individual personality.
The England squad.
Would he get in the Villa team now?
That's another good question.
I'll tell you what, I'm writing all these down. Be on the founding.
Where would you fit?
Next week.
Where would you fit him in?
That's it, innit?
We gives you another option, but maybe at the end of his career.
Well, I think I don't think he'll play on that long. I think
he's always on the bench.
Yeah.
He's sitting on the bench.
Yeah, he's not happy there, that's for sure. And he's started saying a few things publicly about Villa now as well, about, you know, what a great club it was, and it's his boyhood club. Because I know that there's been a bit of bad blood, hasn't there, in a couple of matches when he's been diving and doing stuff. And I think he had a run-in with John McGinn, didn't he, and stuff. But it sounds to me it's like he's angling to come back home now. And maybe, that happens, wouldn't it?
Getting the England squad.
Yeah, yeah. He's clearly a talent, but he just seems like absolutely have just he seems like he had all the personality squeezed out of him at Manchester City. And Pep clearly Pep don't trust him. He doesn't pick him very often, does he?
No. So I was going to ask you, for the watchers and listeners that don't know, what preparation and work goes into behind the scenes of the football phone in?
Obviously, it's because it's on 5 nights a week. I normally do Tuesday to Friday. You obviously need to have a little think about some of the things you're going to talk about. But for each club, I have, I don't know if I've got one here, actually. Let's have a look. Mm-hmm. For each, I might not, because I might have thrown them away. But for each club, I have a list of, I can't find it. Mm-hmm. Basically, like all the coming fixtures, their current form, who they've signed, mm-hmm. Who they've sold, leading goal scorers. And so I've got like information at hand for each team. Now, mm-hmm. quite often I don't use it or look at it, but sometimes somebody might say, oh, who was that? Who else did we sign in January? Or who we're playing a week on Saturday and stuff. So you've got, and I've always got the league table there. So there's that. And then I think the big preparation comes for the, when you're actually doing the live games. Obviously the commentators do all their prep as well, but you'll hear all the clips from the manager, the players before a game. And that means that we all go out, interview the managers, interview the players. Then you have to come back and put them into little clips, not just for the programme, but also for the sports bulletins. And then it's just, it's like a hamster's wheel, really, because with football, the stats, they're always updating, aren't they? So
it's amazing.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, like, that, as you know, that once the game started, it's like normally if you do like other sort of programs, which I've loved doing over the years, you've got a rough idea of how the program's going to go, what time you're going to be doing certain things. But you know that once a football game started, anything could happen. So you can't plan for that. So you can do so much preparation building up to the game. And then it's just, you have to just react to what's happening in front of you, because if football was that predictable that we could plan the show like that, then we'd all have been won the polls, wouldn't we, years ago? So a lot of it is just reacting then to what's happened and other scores and the overall view. But, so there is, you don't just rock up 5 minutes before the programme, put it like that, or I don't. I'm normally in by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and just working on stuff, and obviously booking the pundits as well and booking the guests. And
you're gonna be organized,
well, to a degree, mate. There is more. I don't want to call it work. I mean, there's a lot of hours of preparation going into it, just to make it sound like you're making it up as you go along, but it's not work. I'm just being paid to do something that I love, and again, it's a really, everybody within the sports team is so they go way beyond the call of duty.
Also, your producer, Ollie?
It is, yeah.
He's a good job as well.
Oh, he's fantastic. Well, he started a couple of years ago, I think it was, on a BBC apprenticeship scheme. And I think we have two coming to WM every year, and they've all been amazing. And Ollie, in no time at all, you could see that he ended up, he runs the phone in and he runs the Saturday afternoons now. And he's so hardworking, so talented. The main thing is, it's like, really, first of all, he gets me loads of drinks, but he's just so low maintenance. You ask him to do something, and he don't, as regards to the programme, and he's already on it. And we've got to the point now where we can just look at each other through the glass that you remember when you came, and we don't even need to say anything. He'll know. I raise an eyebrow, and he'll nod his head, and he knows what I'm thinking. So there's a bit of a telepathy there now as well. But he's absolutely outstanding, yeah, and one of the nicest people you could ever meet.
It's funny on that show, that French word, to Bring It On.
Bring It On! Yeah, exactly. And he went and found it. That was after the Bruges game, weren't it? And like within no time at all, he found it and put it into my running order, you know, so I could just like play it. I can't remember what it was now, though. Can you?
No, I can't remember now, though.
Otherwise, but now he's absolutely brilliant. But it's not just him. There's other people in the team as well who are just, they do the proper work. We just talk a load of nonsense, but they actually do the proper stuff, mate. Really good talent.
I like as well the different sounds. The goal horn.
Oh, well, that's iconic. Yeah. I mean, that's been there since the 70s. And it's, I don't think any other radio station does it, but I think the thinking of it at the time was that even if you've got the football on in the background, whether you're at work or in the kitchen or doing other stuff, that goal horn thing was like a lean into the radio moment. Everyone just shuts up. And of course, if your team's winning, you don't want the goal horn to go because you're dreading it's going to be the opposition's goal. And if your team's losing, you're desperate for the goal horn to go and your heart goes in your mouth and there's that split second of hope, isn't there? Or sometimes panic when it goes. So it's obviously a lot of our games now are live, but we still have the ones that aren't on FM, we still use the goal horn for, and it's still quite a moment each time it goes.
I mean, what must be difficult? You're going to fit it in 1 hour, a time slot. Got a football phone in. Not everybody gets time to speak for a long time.
Yeah, that's it. It's I mean, we're allowed an hour, and I mean, sometimes we get loads of calls left over. Other times, the mics have enough calls, but I you know, you could go on all night, really, just chatting football, aren't you? And you got the pundits as well, so you try and, you know, yeah, it's sometimes you come away. What's the old saying in show business? Leave them wanting more. So sometimes you do come away, but at least, you know, you've got the next one the next night. So there's something you haven't really finished. You can say, right, we're going to carry on talking about this tonight or that tonight. Mm. So, yeah, it's, it does fly by for me. I don't know what it's like to listen to, but working on it, it absolutely flies by the hour.
Different topics.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, it's like, you come up with the talking points, but really it's like, people can find them talk about anything, you know. That's just a suggestion, really. Did you want to mention, or you know, but now I might say next week, well, if you sign Jack Grealish, would you get in the team? But then somebody else might phone up, so, well, I'm a Villa fan and I want to talk about the ticket pricing, or I want to talk about, so you could just talk about what you want to talk about, really.
And also, Justin, he's doing a good job,
yeah.
He's got his own
his own one now. Yeah, his own podcast. That's another thing, because you do get obviously quite a lot of regular callers, and some of them have got become personalities in their own right now, like Eddie and Alan and Jason and others. But try over the week. Obviously, we always want new callers as well. But even if you listen to Talk Sport or Five Live, they do get, you'll hear people on there who've been on quite a bit. It's just that certain people like phoning up and want to talk about their team. So we try and make it that, by and large, people don't get on more than once in a week. I mean, there might be a really big story break in which, you know, fair enough, then someone sat the manager or, but generally speaking, then usually you probably only have the same caller on once a week, twice an absolute, you know, push, but try and give as many people as possible an opportunity to have their say as well.
Let's talk about West Midlands football.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about West Midlands football at present?
Well, I think it's all, I can't remember a season where we're going into the last, what, 8 or 9 games or whatever it is, where there's still so much to play for, Chad. I mean, we've talked about the Villa. In the quarterfinals of the Champions League, quarterfinals of the FA Cup, obviously pushing for Champions League place in the Premier League. We've got the Wolves, but still got work to do to stay up. Well, you're joking here before. They're the only team who aren't really doing very well. You've got Albion pushing for a place in the playoffs. So they could still be in the Premier League. You got Blues, who are absolutely walking League One. So they're going to get promoted this season. Could go to Wembley as well in the EFL Trophy. You got Walsall, who are doing their best not to win promotion at the moment. They're still top of the league, just about. But you could have Villa win at least one trophy this season. You could get Albion winning the playoffs. You could get Blues winning two trophies. You could get Walsall winning promotion, possibly winning the title.
It could all go wrong.
It could all unravel before our eyes over the next few weeks. But it's a really exciting finish to the season, I think, and could be quite a few trips to Wembley potentially, mate.
And West Midlands football, I actually would say it's in a good place.
Feels like it. I mean, there's...
Is it a good place?
Yeah, it feels like it now. I mean, obviously, ultimately, it's all about... I mean, there's quite a lot of issues with certain owners at certain club stuff. But as long as your team's winning, I think we're all quite happy, aren't we? So it's exciting. And so that's the one thing doing the WM phoning is that because we've got five teams, obviously we talk about non-league as well and women's football, but generally like the five football league teams, that there's nearly always something going on, mate. And this is the first international break I can remember for ages where someone hasn't sacked their manager. There's not someone gets sacked. It's going to be Blues, to be honest. And obviously, Albion and Wolves have changed managers this season as well. So there's normally there's always something going on.
And Walsall are doing really well in League Two.
Yeah, well, they were. I mean, they were like 14 points clear at the top, but now it's down to a point, and they've won.
Is it?
Yeah, they've won 2 in 13, so they're having an almighty wobble, but they are still top. So hopefully they can just like crawl over the line. Because it's a good club and they're good people. But they're making hard work of it, mate, at the moment.
Let's talk about the media. So with the success of West Midlands teams, the likes of Aston Villa, do you think increased exposure in media is helping move the football conversation focus away from London, Manchester, and Liverpool areas?
Nah, I don't think it will change. Even when Villa won the league, it was all about Ipswich had lost the league. And when Villa won the European Cup, Forest probably had more exposure because they've got Brian Clough in charge all them years ago. Now, I don't think it'll change. And that's why I think it's important that we have podcasts like yourselves and all the other great podcasts that there are for all of our clubs and also BBC Radio WM. So you do get your opportunity. Even now, mate, and like I get it when, I'm coming back and you'll hear like certain other radio stations and one of our team supporters phoned up. They can't wait to get them off so they could talk about Man United again or Arsenal or Liverpool. And
it gets on my nerves.
It still does get on mine, but that's why it's important what you're doing and what the BBC are doing. And like, it's really important that we get a voice. But I'm not at peace with the fact that the West Midlands in particular doesn't get the respect and the recognition it deserves. And I mean, even last year when Villa were pushing for the Champions League, they still weren't talking. They were talking about Tottenham, who were below you, rather than you.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, and so it is what it is, and I don't think it'll change. But it does wind me up sometimes still. But that's why it's more important than ever that there are opportunities and outlets for fans of our clubs to have their say and to be able to talk. Where people actually have got a rough idea of what's going on at your club as well, rather than just saying stuff. Even on Match of the Day, some of the analysis there is embarrassing. They don't know anything about our clubs. And they're even, so it's good that we've got this still. And I'm not knocking Match of the Day, by the way, it's BBC, but generally across the board, they don't tend to have the insight or take the time to know what's going on at a lot of our clubs.
Does one in Newcastle win the Carabao Cup? I was very happy. Can they beat Liverpool?
I am as well for them. Good on them. But again, you know, there's this whole romance about the North East is a hotbed for football. Yes, it is. But Newcastle, great club, great supporters. But it's one. They've got one club within about 40 mile. Well, we've in the same radius. We've got Villa, Blues, Albion, Wolves, Warsaw. You know what I mean? So good. Well done. They are a fantastic football club, and I'm really pleased for them. They're really good supporters. Yeah. But so are our supporters around here. But they don't seem to give the same sort of romance or the same sort of credibility to our supporters. Whereas if Aston Villa or Birmingham or Wolves or whatever had a 40-mile catchment area, then I'm sure we'd all be getting 60,000 every week or what. Do you know what I mean? So it's just the romance of it all, the narrative. And so no disrespect to them. I'm really pleased for them.
But what it is.
I know. The football fans are just as passionate.
We've got to change that. The narrative.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, well, we know round here what it's like and how important it is, how much it matters to us in our everyday lives. And if the others don't, then whatever. It's not going to change, I don't think, really. Villa could win the Champions League this year, and I still want to talk about Man United and Man City all the next day. You know, you'll be patted on the head for 5 minutes, and then it'll all be back to the usual stuff, right?
What's good for football? You got Newcastle, Aston Villa, and now Nottingham Forest.
Forest are doing great. Well, Nuno's doing what he did at Wolves. He's got a really strong defence. They sit deep.
Nuno.
Yeah, they sit deep, and then they absolutely blister teams on the counter attack. And obviously, he's got Chris Wood. While he had Raúl Jiménez. When he had the ball, and they've got Hudson-Odoi, well, they had Adama Traore and Diogo Jota. So it's the same sort of thing he's done at Forest and he did at Wolves. He got Wolves seventh 2 years running in the Premier League, in the quarterfinals of the Europa League in the COVID season, and FA Cup semi-final. So he's just a really good manager. And I think the one who's really missed out in all of this was Daniel Levy, because he had him at Tottenham. But he sacked him in the October. He was only there about like 12 games. But he's looking at it now thinking, oh, what have I done?
Can we do that? He gets the best out of the players he's got.
Yeah, he does. And again, I know they've got like Morgan Gibbs-White's doing well for them, but there's no real superstars there. It's a team. And I think to a degree, it's a different sort of style of football. But I think that's what Unai Emery's cultivated at Villa, where there are some superstars now, but it's still very much a team ethic. And it's not all about pandering to maybe one or two superstars in the lineup. You know, everybody is treated equally and has to behave like that. Otherwise, they don't get a game.
And before we come to predictions, what have you made of Aston Villa season? Where do you think we will end up this season?
Oh, that's a good question. Because you know what, mate? I don't know about you, because obviously you've struggled. He's had to keep changing the back line most of the season. And I think a lot of people have said that it's hard because you're having such a great year, but I don't actually think you've really clicked that often. You've played well in parts. No. And I think there's still a lot more to come. But I said earlier, the fact that you've got everybody fit now, bar Ross Barkley, I don't know if he'll be fit after the break. And you've got, I mean, Unai Emery keeps talking about consistency. Well, all of a sudden now you've won four. Yeah, so I think you win the FA Cup. I genuinely think, who knows what else you could achieve. But if you want one prediction from Villa to win the FA Cup this season.
What is it, Emery? All we need now is a trophy.
Yeah. Yeah. Some silverware.
Good. and that'll be a really emotional day.
Yeah, I think,
and it's gonna be a dream.
I don't know where you'll finish somewhere in the top six. You might make Champions League. Who knows what you could do in the Champions League still? I don't know, but three, I would say I'd be most confident of you. Hopefully you'll get past Preston, and that puts you in the semi-final then at Wembley. Yeah. And after that, it's all bets are off in it. But you wouldn't fear anybody, and a lot of the so-called big hitters are already out. So it gets exciting then, doesn't it?
And the good news as well. Torres is back.
Yeah, he's class. And he's important to what you do, the way you play, especially building out from the back, playing out from the back. He's probably the best footballing defender that you've got, isn't he? So to have him back and available again. But I think Tyrone Mings has done well. He's probably played a lot more games than they thought he was going to be honest. And I know he's not... He's got his flaws, but he's passionate. He's a leader. He's vocal, and he never hides. And even when things are going badly for him, he never hides. Does he? Yeah. Tire about him?
So, Das, could you give me your West Midlands team's predictions?
Yeah. So, I'm gonna go Villa sixth in the Premier League and win the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Wolves, hopefully 17th. They're not going to get higher than that. And I just hope they don't get dragged into the... Hopefully we'll be all right. But hopefully. So sixth for Villa, 17th for Wolves. Mm-hmm. I think Albion will make the playoffs. I think they'll finish sixth. And Birmingham will finish first. I don't think there's any dispute about that. And I think Warsaw will finish first.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah. So even though they're wobbling at the moment, I still think they'll win the title. So that's an awful lot of silver polish we're going to have to buy with the FA Cup. Blues could obviously win two trophies as well. Warsaw could win a trophy. So they better start extending the trophy rooms at some of our clubs, Chad.
Think of what it is, Bas. There's a lot to play for. So much to play for.
Yeah, and that's it. So it's going to be, I mean, looking forward to my week off now. Recharge my batteries before we go flat out.
Enjoy your break. Enjoy it.
Thanks ever so much for inviting us back on again. I've really enjoyed it, mate.
For those to do this episode.
No, it's a pleasure.
Really enjoyed it.
Come back in that studio again and all then.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, my mate. Well, good luck. Thanks for inviting me on, and hopefully you'll come on the phone in as well soon. And you got to plug that event you're doing.
I will.
All right, my mate.
Thank you, everyone, for watching.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, everyone, for watching. Thanks for putting up with me rabbiting on for hours on end. I don't know what. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe. If you haven't, give it a like, give it a share, and make sure to give us a good review. If you're listening by audio, thank you so much, Das.
Thank you.
For your time. I'm going to wrap up this episode with Villa Forever and up the Villa.